standing with me in honor of the reading of the word of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, whether you're at home or here, just stand in reverence of God's holy word, which is infallible, which never changes. It hasn't changed. And to God be the glory for that. The word of the Lord tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading from the 55th verse to the 58th verse, the word of the Lord says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God,
amen,
which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to read that one more time. Be steadfast, be unmovable. Tell your neighbor, don't move. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, somebody say your labor, is not in vain, but it's to the Lord. And I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. I am victorious.
Amen.
I am victorious. And I preached at 9 o'clock, and I told him the Lord is kind of stirring with me a little bit. So this may morph into something else, but we were born for this.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, we were born for this. And I want to talk to you today on what the Lord has given me this morning. If you love the Lord, would you just lift your voices one more time? Just thank him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Father in heaven, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus, for all you've done and all you're going to do, oh God. For your loving kindness, God, is greater than life itself, God. Order our steps in your word, oh God. For this is the day you've made for us. We'll be glad. We'll rejoice, oh God. Jesus' name, let the church say amen.
Amen.
God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Our scripture setting this morning comes to us under the dictation of the Apostle Paul. It's a longer chapter than most and filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul starts out by writing of Christ's resurrection for the first 11 verses, and it's power-packed. It's good news for us today. Paul's writing, and he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, he says, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And this is a tremendous testimony. This is tremendous news to all of us that are former sinners, now redeemed by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. You're not who you think you should be. You're not who you want to be, but thank the Lord you're not who you were, who you used to be. Come on, somebody. For we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. When we were washed in his name, buried in baptism, in the only saving name of Jesus, that has put us into the side of victory. We were born again of the water and of the Spirit, and therefore we have come into a place and a time in history that we were born for this, baby. That's why we are a victorious people. The Apostle Paul goes on to write in the preceding scriptures of our text. He's talking and connecting, and he's teaching the church there in Corinth on the resurrection, and the catching away directly to the victory of Jesus. And we know that Satan thought he had victory there in the Garden of Eden with the fall of man and the eating of the forbidden fruit in Genesis chapter 3. But Satan also thought that he had victory when Jesus was crucified on the cross. And we know this, that when Jesus died on the cross, he was crucified for our sins. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And we crucify the flesh. We've got to bring our flesh under subjection. We got to bring it into check and under spiritual alignment with God and the Word of God. And so when we repent of our sins, that what we were dying unto the Lord, our old nature, who we used to be, we repented of our sins. We've turned a different direction mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And then when we are buried in baptism, Jesus was buried in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. I want to clarify and add that it was a borrowed tomb because he had no intention of staying there. And so he just needed to say, I just need to borrow this for a couple days. And so he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and we are buried with him in baptism, fully immersed in water in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of all of our sins. He rose again to newness of life. He rose again on the third day, over victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And we rise again in newness of life when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And so we are filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Therefore, we have power. We walk in authority and dominion. And so the power of God living in us, the same power that resurrected our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, resides in us. That's why Paul says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We were born again of the water and of the Spirit. We were born not only into relationship with the Lord. He is our Father. We are not a stepchild. We are not a grandchild. We are children of the Most High God. Do you know who you are, baby? You are a child of God. But notice how awesome our God is. Jesus on the cross, showing the devil who's really in control. Colossians 2 and 15, notice what the Word of God says. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When he hung on the cross, he had the last word. 3 days later, when he walked and showed himself all over again and said, hey, I told you what was about to happen. You tried to kill me when I was a little baby. You tried to take my life, but I was born for this. I was born to redeem a people that had a debt that they couldn't pay. So I paid a debt that he didn't know. We were born to live for God, to have revival, to be a people of God in the last days. Somebody say, I was born for this. Because he lives, we can face not just tomorrow, but anything that will come our way. Because we have the victory. In our scripture text, it gives us an understanding of who we are in the Lord. And so when Paul is writing it to us in our scripture setting, he's reminding us that as long as we stay, notice this, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, we are on the side of victory. Come on, somebody, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with his carry, you've been filled with the power from on high, explosive dynamite. You are no longer on the losing side, but you're on the winning side, and the power of God is in you. Somebody give God a praise here this morning. Somebody lift up your voice if you're on the winning side. Somebody shout victory. I don't know about you, but I am very competitive. I love to win. Losing's not fun. Listen, when you're in the church and you're serving the Lord, you're on the winning side. Sister Medina, winning and having victory is something that once you get the principle of it, once you get the taste of it, there's no turning back. It's like riding in first class on an airplane. Once you get that exposure and you sit there, and it's like, man, I don't want to sit in those cheap seats anymore, but I can't afford it. But man, thank the Lord. It's like eating that forbidden fruit. I should have. Woo, it's like living life without tacos, right? It's like, man shall not live by bread alone, right? Tortillas count. Praise the Lord. But we're on the winning side. Jesus. When we lift our hands, it's a sign of victory and a slap in the devil's face again. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 63 and 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. It would do some of you a whole lot of good that when trouble starts coming your way, just to lift up your hands and begin to give God a thanks and a praise. Why don't we do that right now? Just practice for whatever the Lord's going to bring your way this week. Just say, Lord, I will bless thee. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Don't trip off what's going on around you. Don't abandon the ship. Stay in the good old gospel ship.
Amen.
Some of you remember that song, I'm going to take a trip in the good old gospel ship. Don't go run and hide. Can't hide from God.
Come on.
Some folks want to play hide and seek with God. He'll catch you. He'll get you. Don't doubt God, but rather trust God.
Yes.
Trust him enough to keep your eyes fixed on him and your heart settled on his word. That's what the Scripture tells us in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41. Notice this. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God. Declare what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and 8. Lifting up holy hands without doubting. Some of us, when you start getting in situations that look a little crazy, just don't doubt God, but do what the Scripture. I'm going to lift up my hands unto the Lord and bless his name. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm not going to doubt God. Don't doubt God, somebody. The word of God is true. It's going to come to pass. It's coming to pass. If he's done things before, there's a precedence that he'll do it again. He is no respecter of person. You are on the side of victory. You were born for harvest. You were born for the end time. You were born for revival. Therefore, whatever the devil brings, says, tries to do, it's all bad for him. He is, even though hell has to enlarge itself, heaven is going to be filled with a lot of people that the Scripture says will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Say, how did you do it? I maintain my testimony. I maintain my praise and my worship because I realize who he is, who I am, and that I'm on the winning side, that I'm a victorious people. Hell doesn't have dominion over you.
Amen.
Well, should have had 100 amens there. Hell doesn't have a dominion over you.
Amen.
Our Savior paid the price in full. He didn't put it on credit. He didn't take a loan. He didn't rob Peter to pay Paul. He paid it in full himself. He died once and for all that we could have life and life more abundantly. Sin doesn't have control over you. Hey, there's a lot of sin taking place. And in fact, it's becoming more and more legalized every day. But if the Bible calls it sin, whether it's legal or you like it or they say you need to accept it, it's still sin.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. Yes. You're victorious here today. And here, Pastor, you can quote this. Sin may be appearing to be paying a prevailing wage. But in the end, it's still death and addiction and destruction, right?
Yes.
Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. For the wages of sin is, it may look like, wow, they're doing pretty good in their sin. Yeah, it still pays the same. Yes. Inflation goes up, inflation goes down. Sin has paid the same since the beginning of time. But the Bible's, I got good news today.
That's good.
Yes. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. What are you saying, Pastor? Don't write nobody off. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where's your love? Where's your compassion? You that are spiritual, restore such a one. Don't forget who you are, who you were. The just man falleth and he gets up again. Rejoice not against thee, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. I'm getting back up because I'm on the side of victory. I was born for revival. I was born for victory. We're victorious this morning. All right, everybody take a deep breath. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, relax. It's going to be okay. All right. Prophecies unfolding right before our very eyes. You need to hear this. The Bible has told us that this was going to happen. Notice this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. How many believe that they're here?
Yes, I do.
I sure hope. I got 100 hands waved in the air because this isn't perilous times. God help us. Notice the root word of perilous. All you students, peril, right? Peril is, here, Pastor, you got to get this. Peril is exposure to injury, loss, or destruction. And it's not necessarily that you will face destruction, or you will face loss, or you will face injury. It's that you will be exposed to it. Perilousness, so what we understand, is reducing in strength or difficult times, dangerous times, or fierce. Not a cologne, but something that is fierce that happens.
Yeah.
And these days, and this coincides with what Jesus told his disciples when they asked him questions. They asked him three questions about the signs of the end time. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And they asked him, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? In verse 6, he says, and ye shall hear, notice this, hear of wars and rumors of wars. There's a lot, we've been hearing a lot about wars and rumors of wars, right? But he says, see that ye be not troubled, for some of these things must, all, somebody say all. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. It doesn't mean that it's not close to the end, but it's not yet. But notice this, verse 7. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences, which we understand. We've talked a lot about pandemics and earthquakes in diverse places. Notice this. I'm going to break this down. We're going to go a little Bible study here for a moment. In preparation for this message, just some research, and I came across this week. This is just from this week, a new report by the American Psychological Association shows that money woes, inflation, the threat of war compounding, the 2 years of a pandemic, along with fear. And I found it interesting that they put fear in there, has driven the stress levels of Americans to an unprecedented high. And I would say that if you're living for God and you're reading your Bible and you have been a part of Revival Tabernacle. We have talked about this for
a
couple times. But you can see the signs of the time and the Bible coming to reality. And notice what Jesus says in Luke chapter 21 and verse 26. He says, men's hearts failing them for fear. There's just some people that they got caught up with everything taking place, and they were proponents. They were specializing in promoting fear, and hearts were failing them. And so, of course, we've distanced ourselves from people, places, and things of that way. And notice this, the scripture says, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, I've said this once, and I'm going to say it again. This is not the time to freak out. This is not the time to run for the hills, but look to the hills.
That's right.
From whence cometh our help.
Right.
Our help cometh from the Lord. Remember, you're on the side of victory.
Yes.
You were born for this time.
Yes. Amen.
This is not the time to stay home and hide out.
No.
The backslide, or attach yourself again to the spirit of fear and deception. It's not time to be lukewarm. It's not time to live offended and get bitter, but it's time to live for Jesus and to shine and to let our light shine the way God called us to, because we were born for this. The Bible is coming alive. And Jesus tells us what to do. He tells us in Luke 21 and 34, if you got your Bibles, you want to highlight this. He says, take heed to yourself. Now, oh man, listen. Some of you get your nose in so many things you have no business getting your nose into. Worry about yourself.
Yes, Pastor. Amen, Pastor. Yes.
Worry about you. You're going to have to give an account of yourself unto the Lord. You're not going to take all your friends up there and say, hey, we're going to bow before Jesus together and you're going to vouch for him. No, he says, hey, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. We're going to give it every idle word, everything we've done, said, forgot about. God's going to say, you know what? He's going to judge us. He's going to measure, and he's going to say, welcome, or time to go someplace else. But you're on born again of water and spirit, repentant of your sins, doing your very best to live for God. You don't have to worry about it, baby. You're on the side of victory. But I want to point something out. Take heed to yourselves.
Yes.
Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. The cares of this life. It doesn't say sin.
Okay.
The cares of this life. The stuff that we buy.
Okay.
That we have to work our fingers to the bone to keep.
Ouch.
And it keeps us away from God.
Come on.
The church. The people of God.
Great. Yeah.
You don't own that stuff.
No.
As Bishop would say, Bishop Mullings would say, that stuff owns you.
Ouch.
Cares of this life.
Yeah.
The cares. Well, I just got to get through. I'm just trying to build this business, Pastor. Yeah? Who's doing the building? Except the Lord build the house.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. This is the main event for the church.
Yes,
we are to contend for the...
Hallelujah.
Stay in the fight, somebody. We are to contend for the faith. Somebody say good news. Luke 21 and 28. Notice this. And in your Bibles, Luke 21 and 28, in your Bibles, it's in red.
Yes, it is.
That means that this is the words of Jesus himself. So I quote Jesus. And when these things begin to come to pass, go in your house and hide. Call Cafe Runner to send you all the food they can. Instacart to load your garage up. No. It says when these things begin to come to pass, look up. Lift up your head. For your redemption draweth nigh. That's victory. That's good news. Woo! If you're not living for the Lord, well, too bad, so sad. But if you're living for Jesus, it's going to be all right. I don't have a feeling it's going to be all right. I know it's going to be all right. So listen, listen. We'll talk about some stuff. Then we'll pick up preaching here in a moment. Gas prices are at an all-time high since 2007. I'm reminded it every day, every time I walk out my office. Whoop, gas station right there. Look at the price. Oh, man. Let me get back in the office. The housing market is red hot. We've got divisions. We've got opinions, conspiracies, propaganda that range from the far crazy on this side to the far crazy on that side. We've got a humanitarian crisis taking place all over the world. We're going into week four of a war between two countries that are in the Bible. Yeah. We've got nuclear ambition by countries that even we woke up this morning, we heard that Iran fired 12 missiles at our U.S. embassy in Iraq. I mean, if that wasn't a confirmation for me to keep preaching what I'm preaching, I mean, we woke up to it. And how can we forget about the last 2 years? But are you ready for this? Somebody say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Matthew 24:8 says, again, these are the words of Jesus. So I quote Jesus. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Guess sorrows. It means a pang or a throw, a pain or travail. In fact, in the commentary, it says, especially in childbirth. So hang with me for a minute. When a lady is pregnant, everything changes. Yeah. All the brothers say amen. Yeah, you're scared, right? Her mood and her emotions change. Suddenly, dill pickles and milkshakes sound real good at 2 o'clock in the morning. Her sleep pattern changes, right? Her cravings change. Pains come and go. And the closer she gets to her due date and the blessing of the baby, the more rapid the pains. And these are called contractions.
Yes. I hear you.
You were born for this.
Yes, amen.
Most of the time, these come and go and are usually around the third trimester. I know there's other things, but we just kind of stay with this. When a woman is in the final stages of pregnancy, contractions are like her body's alarm clock, alerting you that you're soon to be giving birth to a beautiful blessing. Labor's the real deal. All the ladies say, amen. All the men, we're not as tough as we think. It's no joke, but that's part of the process. In order for the lady that's been walking around with a big blessing in front of her, a big tummy, she's been preparing, painting the room pink or blue and buying everything in sight that she thinks she may need, and everybody's excited and participating. And registering for this and registering for that, and if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Starts right there and then. And she's walking different. And everybody realizes that she's about to give birth to a beautiful blessing, whatever the Lord has blessed her with, a little baby boy or a baby girl. It's a blessing of the Lord. And when she gets in the final stages of getting to her due date, things begin to change. The closer she gets, the more contractions are spaced out, and time between them gets shorter and shorter. And have you noticed in society, have you noticed in the world, and even in the church and in the physical realm, spiritually, that we're going from one situation to the next, one rumor of war to the next, one thing ends and another crisis starts up. We feel like we caught our breath, and then a couple days later, something else that has never happened before takes place, and we are in the final stages of what we would understand the end of the age, and it's the process of perilous times and the process of the beginning of sorrows, that you know what, in order for things to take place according to the word of God, these things must happen. But I've got good news today for a church. What Jesus says in his word in Matthew 24 and 13. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. It's not time to worry. It's not time to freak out. It's time to stay in the church and live for God and declare, I was born for this. Notice this in Hebrews 3 and 14. We're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the faith. Now, I've been here pastoring long enough, believe it or not, 7 years this June. I'll be the second longest tenured pastor in this church's history. It's hard to believe, but think about this. I remember when some of you first got in the church, you loved everybody. You were so happy. Nobody could offend you. You didn't care where you sat. Just as long as you got to church and had somewhere to sit. Some of you have been here so long, you remember having church without air conditioning in this building.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Right? For 30 years, this building didn't have air conditioning. But we become desensitized. We become forgetful. We become spiritually narcissistic. Spiritually obese. Orale.
Come on, Pastor.
Yeah. I know I've said it before, but you can quote the hymns, but you don't know him.
Ouch. That's good. Dang. Amen. That's good.
You know about everyone else's stuff. You're worried about the likes and the perception on social media versus what God really knows about you.
Hallelujah. Preach it.
Mm. I'm getting real. Because it's getting real. My job is to lead you, protect you, and to feed you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want you to like me, but more than that, I want you to love me. I want you to say, Pastor, sometimes you make me so mad when you're preaching, I just want to walk out, but I know it's so good. It's like eating broccoli, and I want you to give me tacos. Come on, somebody. You can live for God. You're victorious. What Jesus is telling us, he's giving us a heads up that the church is invincible.
That's
right. The church is, the church was built not for revival. The church was built for a harvest. And we have spent all this time spiritually reviving people. And there was an awakening that took place. And now we're about to walk into a spirit and a revelation of harvest time. Oh yeah. It's time for the barren ground of the hearts and the prodigals to be revived again.
Yes.
Psalmist says in Psalm 85 and 6, "Will thou not revive us again?" On this side of perilous times, we can be secured in the arms of the Lord. Yeah. On this side of perilous times, on this side of being victorious and living for the Lord, we can have an appreciation of the words of David when he said in Psalm 118 and 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Man will kill you. Man will bury you in the grave. Man will say things at your funeral that we should have been saying all along in person. And the longer we're in the grave, we forget about one another. But there's coming a day when the trump of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air. That's victory, friend. To live for God is victory. Whether I live or whether I'm alive when the rapture takes place, or I'm in the ground, I'm victorious either way, because I was born for this. I was born to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to a place, no more sorrow, sickness, pain, tears. I was born again of water and spirit so I can enter into heaven. But pastor, what about the economy? Yeah. What about it? Mr. Lori, God's economy is not in a crisis. God's not broke. God's not broke. He don't need a stimulus check. He's not worried about inflation. He don't have a credit card. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's. He's not tripping out about what's taking place. God's economy is not broke. Proverbs 21 and 31 says, but safety is of the Lord. You know what the safest place to be and the safest thing to invest in? The kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Proverbs tells us, safety is of the Lord. We're his people. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and 19, God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But pastor, What about the inflation? Again, I say, God's system is not regulated by what man does. God is able to take care of his people. What are you saying, pastor? We were born for this. We are a victorious people. So live life serving God. Pray. Love God and one another. Sing of the goodness of the Lord. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 98 and 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth make a loud noise and rejoice and sing. Pray. It doesn't say sing the blues or cry a river of tears or gossip, or complain, or worry, or post about all the craziness going on in your world. It says to sing and rejoice and make a loud noise unto the Lord. It doesn't even have to sound good. It says make a joyful noise. Some of you need to get your smile back. You need to get your joy back. You need to get your praise back, because it's unto God. Sin and life and situation has caused it to move, but you need to get back and say, you know what? This time, I'm not going to be unmovable. This time, I'm going to be steadfast. This time, I'm doing it for the glory of the Lord. I'm going to make a joyful noise unto God. Have faith in God and believe what the Apostle Paul said. In Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So witness. Share your testimony of what God has done for you as the musicians come. Smile. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Do what the scripture says in Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. It's a flow in the moving of the Spirit of God. You are victorious. Stand up with me this morning. All the victorious people, stand up. All the people that are walking in spiritual realm of victory, stand this morning. Why don't we lift our voices unto the Lord right now and give God a praise and a thanks? Some of you need to practice your victory march. You need to practice your victory praise. You need to practice your victory shout. Come on, some of you forgot what it's like to live under the realm of the power of the anointing because you've lived under the spell of fear for so long. Hey, it's okay to give God worship, to give God praise. Come on, let's give God a praise. Lift up your voice. I'm unmovable. I'm steadfast. The musicians would come this morning. Does the situation look hard? Does it look impossible? Does it look like it can't be done? Then that's the time. That's the time when God shows up and does only what he can, the impossible. That's when God does the miraculous, is when somebody needs a miracle. In order for God to do a miracle, somebody's got to be in need for a miracle. In order for someone to be lost and find the Lord, we've got to be ready for when they come to pray for them and to lead. In order for somebody to be fed, we've got to have food ready to feed them. Come on, somebody. We are made overcomers today. As they begin to give me some mood music, 1 John 5:4 says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Help me praise to musicians. God's in control. God is on your side. But are you on God's side? Are you keeping him at distance? You say, not right now, I'm not feeling it. Whether you feel it or not, things are happening quick. God's going to restore some people, relationships, ministries. He's going to restore the things that you thought were gone forever. Because we're a victorious.